Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Hey friends, we want to welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this afternoon. We're certainly glad that you've decided to tune in to the radio program. We do want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, so get your phones handy so that you can participate in our discussion this afternoon. And the call-in number is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. You can also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course I have with me the co-host, Brother David Harris, and again, we're excited that you've chosen to tune in this afternoon. We want to remind you that over the last several months, we've been looking at the life of Christ, and what we've done is we've gone to the book of Mark, and by the way, you might want to open in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, in just a moment, David's going to read beginning in verse number 15, Mark 16 and verse 15. But if you've been with us, we've looked at the life of Christ, and what we've done is taken a point from each of the chapters in the book of Mark, and I'm sure that you realize there are 16 chapters, and so this is our 16th chapter that we're looking at, not our 16th program, because we've had quite a bit of material to deal with, but we've looked at Jesus as a man of prayer. We've looked at Jesus as a man who was impartial, a man of power, that he is our best friend, that he did everything well. And over the last several weeks, we've been looking at Jesus as a man of compassion. And if you were with us last week, we dealt with the question, can a person be a compassionate Christian and support our military? And of course, we went to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, as well as 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, to show the role of government in God's scheme. And we pointed out that it is an act of compassion, friends, for us to send our troops, for instance, I'm sure that you're praying for those that have been struck by this great tragedy in Haiti, but it is an act of compassion for us to send our troops to Haiti to help control the situation, get the port open, get the airport open so that aid can come to those people. And so, yes, we can be a compassionate Christian and support our military. And we have another question in light of that that was sent to us this week. And it said, would you please repeat the references from Romans and Corinthians concerning support of our military? And this is from Cindy. And so, Cindy, the verses that we referred to, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, and not Corinthians, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. So, Cindy, those references again, Romans 13, 1 through 7, as well as 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And David, by the way, that's just two of the many verses that deal with this concept of government and how God ordains government and puts government into place. And he does that for our benefit. And that's what he says in Romans chapter 13. But this week, we're going to continue our discussion by looking at a different side of the compassion of Jesus. And we're going to notice that compassion is where Jesus died on the cross so that we could have our sins forgiven. And David, that is the most compassionate act that anybody could conceive, is it not?
Absolutely. I do believe tonight we're going to cover in Mark chapter 16 the summation of the compassion.
That's right.
This is where he puts the spiritual and the physical together.
Yes.
So that we can all understand it. And if you have your Bibles ready, I would love for you to read with me in Mark chapter 16. And we're going to begin reading in verse 15, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. Because we need to understand what these miracles are for. Now, we've covered several programs on the purpose of these miracles. And here again, we're going to look at it again as he gives this great commission to his apostles. He says in verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them which believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into the heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And, Carrie, we need to re-emphasize that the miracles were for the purpose of confirming this word. That's because exactly the written right. word had not been there. So they were preaching the word. They were confirming the word with these miracles. And that is the reason that we have what we have here in Mark chapter 16. Now, if we could turn our Bibles over to Matthew chapter 9, in verse 35, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, we're going to see an act of compassion of Jesus. Now, this program is going to tie the spiritual and the physical together. And this is going to be the compassionate side of Jesus the Christ. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, we read this. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Carrie, would you like to touch on this moving with compassion? And I think it's very important that we zero in on that phrase there, moved with compassion. This was Jesus's movement of compassion here when he saw the people.
Well, you know, David, we need to understand what compassion is. And if you look up the definition, it says it is a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress, now watch this, together with a desire to alleviate it. And we need to understand, David, it's not just a desire to alleviate it. It is us doing something to help alleviate
mm-hmm. it. Just thinking about it.
Yeah, not just thinking about it. You know, it doesn't do us any good to sit around and talk about, well, you know, I think I ought to do this or I think I ought to do that. And that's the point that you're making. Jesus was moved with compassion. Mm-hmm. See, true compassion is going to move us. David, I don't know how we can sit and see what has transpired back to Haiti.
Right.
And not have a desire plus an action to help alleviate some of that suffering that's going on over in that country. And as we said earlier, David, it is truly an act of compassion for the United States to send our troops over there to help alleviate the problem. Now, I know they've got a guy over in France that's saying we're occupying Haiti and stuff like that. I find it a little bit ironic that you've got a political leader in France who at one time had Haiti and had the people as slaves on that, and now he's saying because we sent our military over there to help that we're now occupying that territory.
Mm-hmm.
I think he needs to get his history book out and read a little bit of the history of things. You know, David, we talked about this last week, and the only ground that Americans have asked for in sending our troops over, for instance, when we liberated France And I'm not saying that America did it alone. There were allies that were involved, Britain, Canada, New Zealand. There were a lot that were involved in that effort. But David, when we liberated France, we didn't occupy France. The only ground that we asked for was a place to bury our dead.
And we buried a bunch of them.
If I remember correctly, on D-Day, 10,000 casualties. Not all of them were deaths, but 10,000 casualties. And it may have been 10,000 died, but I'm not positive about that number. David, it is absolutely mind-boggling that we have people in the world who do not understand truly what compassion is. Now, David, I'm going to remind everybody, this is a call-in talk show. We want them to call. The number is 254-445-2473. Once again, 254-445-2473. Or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. But friends, let's explore compassion this evening. And what is true compassion?
Right.
David, in the political climate that we're living in, I think that we have developed a mindset that compassion is throwing money at something.
Evidently. our welfare system is built on that.
Is that true compassion?
Not necessarily, and sometimes it's nothing more than an enabling.
Okay.
Jesus Christ came to this earth, and in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he gives us his mission here on this earth. He says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's talking about that which is spiritual. That is his main goal here on this earth, in his ministry here on this earth. It was his main goal to seek out the spiritual salvation of mankind, those that were lost. And when he's talking about having compassion on this field of harvest, he's talking about the souls that were there. Now, the physical part of this came about because all of that, that's a human nature or human instinct, I guess, that we have to desire that which is physical. So to make that which is spiritual alive for these folks, they've got to see a sign because they don't have the word. And so here we have the miracles working in conjunction with what Jesus Christ is trying to give us, which is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We see his mission, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. There is the compassionate side of Jesus the Christ, right there.
Yes.
The salvation of all of mankind. And it's interesting, and I know we're going to, when are we up against the break?
We've still got five minutes.
Okay. What I would like to do right now is I would like to turn to Luke chapter 4. And what I would like to see is what the Bible has to teach in Luke chapter 4. And if for those of you that are out there, I would like you to turn there if you can and look at verse number 18. Because this is a prophecy of Isaiah. 700 years previously to this, these words were mentioned by Isaiah. And so Jesus here reads out of the book of Isaiah in a synagogue with a bunch of other Jewish people there. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel unto the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And when he got through with that, he told those Jews that were listening there, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in me." And they didn't believe it. They Yes. were a bunch of unbelieving Jews saying, "This can't be the Messiah. This has got to be the son of Joseph, and it couldn't be any more than that." And so what we see here is his mission and his commission that he has here, and he confirmed every bit of it with the miracles, with Yes. the signs. That's how he caused people to believe in what he was doing.
Well, you know, David, when you look at this, and it is a powerful verse of Scripture, and it brings to mind what we've already alluded to, and that is the fact that true compassion is going to help people physically, but most importantly, it's going to help people spiritually. True compassion, David, it does no good for us to sustain physical life if the spiritual soul spends an eternity in hell?
Well, when you look at physical and spiritual side by side, physical is temporal.
That's right.
And spiritual is eternal.
That's right.
Now, if you're going to save one or the other, and you got to choose one, which one are you going to save? You're going to save that one that lasts forever, not the one that's just going to last for a very temporary period of time. And so the true compassion is going to be when we do what Jesus has done, when we get on his mission. And by the way, that is that commission that he gave his disciples in Mark chapter 16. We're going to get back to that in just a moment.
Yes.
That was just exactly what he was telling them to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not is going to be damned. Okay, now here we have the compassion of Jesus, and he's pointing his disciples into an area that they need to be working in.
Yes.
The eternal area, the spiritual area.
Well, friends, we want to remind you again, this is a live call-in talk show, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And David, when you look at Jesus and you look at his life, there is no one that is more compassionate than Jesus Christ.
No one.
In our society, and David, I don't know where the disconnect came from, but we have gotten in our society an influence from Eastern religions, and these Eastern religions, Buddhism and some of these others where we have men that are held up in our society as being compassionate, like the Dalai Lama and some of these guys. And yet true compassion, the ultimate compassion, is seen in Jesus Christ, and yet Christianity is torn down in America, laughed at, mocked, ridiculed. Friends, we need to wake up and understand what compassion is. And Jesus is a man of compassion, there's no doubt. Jesus, friends, and here's the point, he died for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
He died for our sins. How much more compassion can be demonstrated? I don't know how anybody can turn to the New Testament, read the New Testament, and not walk away with the fact that if you want to know what compassion is, you've got to look to Jesus Christ, not some man who may have done great things, but is not the compassionate man that we see in Jesus Christ. And we've got to understand, friends, Jesus Christ is the man of compassion.
Right.
All right. I guess we are up against a break right now, so we'll go ahead and take a break. We want you to call us at 254-445-2473. Send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris. I'm here tonight with Kerry Clark. We are talking tonight about Jesus, a man of compassion, and we're using for our text tonight Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20, especially the Great Commission part there where he says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned." Now, this is in conjunction with our series of lessons about who Jesus is, and we have spent the last couple of weeks on the fact that Jesus is a man of compassion, and he is a very compassionate individual, and he expects us as his followers to be compassionate also. But tonight we're going to see the summation of his compassion when he puts that which is physical and that which is spiritual together to show us what true compassion is, and when he instructs us as his followers to go out into that world and preach that gospel to every creature. Now, he gives us his mission here on this earth, and as he came here in the flesh, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, that great commission that he gives us tells us to do the very same thing, to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, he gives us the commission so that we can show people what to do in order to be saved. And then we also read in just a moment ago in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus was the fulfillment of a prophecy that was given 700 years ago in the book of Isaiah, which says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And he has done this. He has fulfilled this passage of Scripture, and he went through this life confirming the word of God that he was preaching, confirming that with signs and with miracles. Now, the commission that is given us in this act of compassion for the lost, the commission is Mark chapter 16, verse 50. And that commission is to every single Christian that is a penitent, baptized believer, is a part of this great commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Now, Carrie, when we look at that great commission, there are several things that just jump out there at us. And for one thing, that word, preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And we need to really focus on what that gospel really is, because if we don't know what the gospel is, we can't preach it. And I'd like you, for you, if you will, to look at the Scriptures and read for us and show us in the Scriptures where we have a definition of this gospel.
Well, friends, if you want to open in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1, listen to what Paul writes. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand." Now listen to verse 2. "By which also ye are saved." Now I want to pause there, David, and notice that Paul's argument is that he's preaching the gospel, and they're saved by that gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But then he uses this word in verse 2. "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain at this present, but some are fallen asleep, some are dead." Well, what Paul has done, David, in essence, has given us the nutshell of the gospel, and that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, folks, encompasses the fact that in Acts 20 and verse number 28, the Bible talks about the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. And so you've got the death, burial, and resurrection encompassing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the church being established. And friends, the church is the most important thing in the earth right now, or on the earth right now. And yet, David, how many of people out in the world view the church as some non-essential? People say, "Give me the Christ, but not the church. Give me the man, but not the plan." These little cute sayings that men have dreamed up, and they throw them out there as if it is truth, is not true. Friends, I cannot be truly compassionate until I develop the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus."
Right.
I cannot be compassionate, not truly compassionate, without understanding who Jesus is, what his mission was, and then acting upon that knowledge so that I go out, and as you read in Mark 16 and verse 15, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature.
Right.
Now, I can't be compassionate if I don't understand the gospel, David.
No. And as you pointed out just a moment ago in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that word by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. It all surrounds the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus
Christ.
That's
exactly right.
And he said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now this word is the good news of the gospel.
Right.
Now this gospel has to be heard first.
Yeah.
And after it is heard, then it must be obeyed.
Yes.
And this is where a lot of people get in their mind that there is nothing out there to obey, that there is no kind of a law in the New Testament. The law was all in the Old Testament. And yes, there was a law in the Old Testament, the law of Moses, but there's also a law in the New Testament. It's called the perfect law of liberty in James chapter 1 and verse 25. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, it is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
And so this word is so, so very important, because here not only do we find the mission of Jesus, but we find our mission. Here it is that we are to preach this. And Paul, to the church at Rome in chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of this gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel, the word of God, that is the power of God unto salvation. You can't reject it. But people want to reject the word, and they want to keep Jesus, which Jesus has already told us that we can't do that.
Yes.
And so when we're talking here about the compassion for the lost, we've got to look at what he's told us to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, if we can't and if we are not preaching the gospel, we are not fulfilling our commission as Christians.
That's exactly right. Friends, we want you to be involved in the discussion, so give us a call at 254-445-2473. Send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And by the way, and we've mentioned this before, but friends, it does not necessarily have to be on the topic we're discussing. If you've got a Bible question, and really that's what David and I, when we had this opportunity to start this radio program, we had in mind that, the callers would participate, give us questions, and we would try to go to the Word of God and answer what you have as a question based on not what men have said, but what does the Word of God have to say? And so if you want to participate in this discussion, or if you have a question, give us a call at 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. David, I find it interesting that you mentioned a moment ago obeying the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to understand that is a phrase that is found in the Bible.
Right.
It's not a man-made phrase that David has dreamed up or that Carrie has dreamed up. But Paul writes to the church, the brethren in Thessalonica, and he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 6, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Notice, David, that he said God is going to send Jesus, and he's going to come, and he's going to take vengeance on those, and he lists two categories. First of all, those that don't know God,
mm-hmm.
and then secondly, those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, there are three classes of people in this world, if I understand what Paul is saying. There are those who are saints, there are those who don't know God, and that there are those that, having known God and his word, refuse to be obedient to that word and they will not obey the gospel, even though the implication is, if I'm getting this, they know the gospel, they're just not going to obey it.
Right. They're rejecting the word, and they refuse to make application of the word to their lives. It's amazing. Jesus, being the man of compassion, the man of love, the man of mercy, the man of grace, the man of all that we've talked about here for the last several months.
Yeah.
He is all of that, and yet he is the very same man of justice and judgment that is spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now, in Romans chapter 12, in verse 17, we learn that vengeance belongs in the realm of God.
Yes.
We don't have the right to take vengeance on anybody. And so what we find is that vengeance belongs to God. He's going to take care of it. But
yeah.
One of the things he's going to bring retribution on is those that obey not the gospel. Now, there's some things we've got to do.
Yeah.
There's some things that we've got to do. He's also, and I think it's very interesting that very same piece right there, that passage of Scripture points out, that those that know not God.
Mm-hmm.
And in another place, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, "He that says that I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And so again here, in both instances, we see that obedience is something that God is after in the preaching of this gospel message. There are those who receive it, but in order to receive it, you've got to obey it.
Yes.
So we've got to know what to do.
Well, David, you know, this idea that is very popular in the religious world today that says, you know, well, you know, all I've got to do is believe in Jesus and I'm going to be saved. David, that concept is not taught in the Word of God. And we've discussed this before, friends. Give us a call at 254-445-2473 if you want to be a part of this. But David, there is more to obedience to the gospel than just accepting Jesus into our heart.
Right.
I believe we have a call coming in right now, and so we're going to ask you, if you would, to go ahead and just, if you want to, give us your first name, then your question or comment. Caller,
okay,
go ahead.
My name is Casey. I was just calling because I hear a lot of preachers talking today about how love is a higher standard than the gospel. Can you talk about that for a minute? Is that really true?
Well, Casey, we appreciate that call, and it's interesting that you've said that because I've had a discussion just like that in recent times. But this idea that love is all that it takes. If you've got your Bible, and this is where we said we're not going to give you our opinion. We're going to give you the Word of God to see what the Word of God has to say. I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. And I know, Casey, you may not be able to have a Bible right there in front of you, but notice that he says in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse number 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word." Now listen to this, Casey. "In him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." How can I know that I have the perfected love of God? Well, it's by keeping his commandments.
Right.
So this nonsense, and I say that not to be offensive to where just, well, all you got to do is, David and Casey, do you think your wife would buy that from it? Well, I love you, hon. Now, I'm not going to stay here, you know, I'm going to go out catting around all the time, but I love you, hon.
No,
in her right mind. Casey, I don't think your wife would agree to that, would she?
No.
Is that kind of what you were coming from?
Yes, sir. And that answered my question, and I do appreciate it. Y'all keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Casey. Appreciate you calling.
And those verses again, yeah, we appreciate you calling. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3 and going through verse number 5. And by the way, in the context, he definitely talks about love.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
Right.
And by the way, this very same John would tell us just a little bit long, a little bit further into the book that his commandments are not grievous. You know, the commands that God gives us, these commands are not something that is beyond our ability to do. He's not going to give us a command, friends, that we cannot do. David, you want to add something to that?
Well, when we get to the compassionate side of this, the whole thing is based on love.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the love of God that gave Jesus Christ as the sacrifice. Jesus Christ was the compassionate one. John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus quotes this scripture before he is ever crucified. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, this is before he's ever crucified, and he's talking about the belief and the love that God had for the world. Jesus Christ is the compassionate one. It is based on love. We have another caller. Would you give us your first name and your question or your comment, please?
David, this is Chris Groder from Mount Pleasant, Texas. How are you?
Yes, sir, Chris. Good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to talk to you, finally getting in to listen to you on the program. Just kind of picking you up here. But, you know, one thing that I don't know whether you covered it or not, but, you know, 1 John 5:2, you know, it actually throws in the point that by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments.
Yes.
And so actually our love for each other is contingent upon our love for God and keeping his commandments.
And that is a very good point. Very good point.
And, you know, not only that, but, Chris, like we alluded to a moment ago, 1 John 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes, you know, we have a concept, Chris, that says, well, I love my brethren, but I don't like them. That is not what the Bible tells us. This command to love one another, it should be a joy for us to love. You know, if God can love me, then I know I can love David Harris, and I know I can love Chris Groden, I know I can love Casey, and I know I can love anybody. If God can love me, why can't I love somebody else?
That's true. Very, very true. Chris, we very much appreciate that. You'd like to make another comment?
No, I just tell you what, you know, we think about loving each other, having a loving church and all that, and
uh-huh.
We don't really think of having a commandment-keeping church because we think that that's too pharisaical.
Well, that's a good point. That is a very good point. And right here we're told in the Word that we are commanded to keep that love.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, if we love Jesus, you know, we're going to keep his commandments. Of course, this is all connected together, but a lot of people seem like they just want to kind of divide it all out, and they don't ever connect the dots on the Scriptures here.
Well, good. We're very glad that you called in and keep us connected on these dots, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Sure, enjoy listening to you on the Internet. Been looking forward to it for a long time.
Well, thank you. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah,
Mount Pleasant, Texas. Okay, thank you very much, Chris.
And Chris brought up, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then in John 15 and verse 14, he said, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you.
Right.
Now, I want to love Jesus, and I want to be a friend of Jesus, and so we're going to keep his commands. We're up against a break, and so give us a call at 254-445-2473. Send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this evening. I want to encourage you right now to open in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're looking at this evening Jesus as a man of compassion, and we've already had a couple of really good calls. We had a call from Casey wanting to know about this idea that, well, all I've got to do is love, and that's enough. And we pointed out from John chapter 14 and verse 15 that if you, Jesus said, if you'll love me, you'll keep my commandments. John chapter 15 and verse 14, he said, you're my friends indeed if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. We looked at 1 John chapter 2, where he said the love of God is perfected in those that keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, the love of God is that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. And then we had a call from Chris that brought out some of the very verses that we needed to mention. And so we're looking at that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we need to understand that it is compassionate for us to be concerned about the eternal well-being of somebody's soul. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says in verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not on at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. David, very clearly, he's saying the things that are not seen is the soul, the right. Inward man, the spirit of a man. Now, I know that the things that are seen are you know, I'm sitting here, I've got a computer, there's a desk, there's a car outside, but he's not really concerned about that. The things that are seen, that's our physical body.
Right.
And, friends, if we give sustenance to the physical body and ignore the spiritual side of man, we do a great disservice. Now, Jesus told us to go into all the world, and this is where we started, Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Friends, we've got to, first of all, preach the gospel to the entire world, to every creature. Now, David, as we look at this, preaching the gospel is our part. But people need to respond to the gospel. We looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that God is going to send Jesus. This is 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10. But he's going to come, and he's going to bring vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel. To obey the gospel, friends, we've got to hear the gospel. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We've got to believe that message.
Mm-hmm.
The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've got to repent of our sins. Jesus said it in Luke 13 and verse 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then, David, I guess it was so important, in verse 5, Jesus said the exact same thing. So, friends, we've got to repent of our sins, and we've got to confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But, friends, that's not the end of the gospel. He also said in Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. David, we must be baptized in water, which is an immersion, friends. Baptism is an immersion in water. The word baptize means to immerse. Now, I don't know where people have got the idea that sprinkling a little water on somebody or pouring a little water over their head is baptism, because the word means to immerse. It means to dip or to plunge, submerge completely, immerse in water. And we find numerous examples of that. Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Listen to this. And wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Friends, we've got to obey the whole gospel if we want to be saved.
Right.
David?
And getting back up here to this, and this word repentance, this is one of the most misunderstood words When we're talking about an obedience to the gospel, we're talking about obeying the gospel. Repentance is absolutely necessary. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, there's no mincing of words there. If you don't repent, you can't go to heaven, is what he's talking about. So to repent means more than saying, I'm sorry. As a matter of fact, there's a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 10 that tells us about repentance. In chapter 7 and verse 10, we read this. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. In other words, people being sorry about what they do and doing nothing about it, that will go to your eternal death. But people that are sorrowful, and it works repentance, that is that you stop whatever it is that you're doing that is unlawful according to the Word of God, then that is true repentance. We've got another call on the line, and caller, if you'll give us your name and your question, we would be we'd love to address it.
Well, you quoted John 3:16, but if you'll back up to the first of that chapter, and Jesus was talking about baptism before he started talking about he that believeth is, before he quoted John 3:16.
Absolutely.
And so if you back up and kind of tie that together, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call. And what the caller is talking about here is when Jesus was speaking to a fellow by the name of Nicodemus, a Jewish ruler. And there Jesus told him in verse 3 of John chapter 3, verily, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, he says it again, verily, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so we're really heavy on the baptism. Baptism is extremely important, and Carrie, I do not understand why it is that when we get to baptism, a lot of people just want to dig their heels in the dirt and say, well, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. You just don't have to be baptized to be saved. And yet Jesus over and over and over and over again says that if we don't obey his will, which is baptism, then we cannot be saved. We cannot have our sins washed away. We cannot be saved from our sins. It just will not happen. That is according to Jesus. Now, we've heard what all the men have had to say, but now this is what the Bible has to say about it. Again, the phone number is 254-445-2473. And, Carrie, we got another call on the line? Nope, it's a wrong number or a hang-up, one of the two. But we just got through talking about how important repentance is, and without repentance, it doesn't make any difference whether you're baptized or not because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You've got to stop doing the wrong. And then we have baptism. And this gets us right back to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned.
Yeah, and you know, David, I find it interesting that John 3:16 is often referred to. You know, you see it at the football games, people holding up the sign, John 3 and verse 16. And we all know that it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And people want to say, well, that's all I've got to do. But David, and I think the caller earlier a moment ago was referring to the fact Jesus starts in John 3 with baptism.
Right.
Nicodemus doesn't understand it. And so he has to back up and say, wait a minute, you need to understand my plan. My plan is that you believe and you're baptized. But Jesus started with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, the very verses that you read a moment ago. He starts with baptism, and then he has to back up and tell Nicodemus, well, you got to believe.
Right.
You know, Nicodemus didn't even understand what he was talking about. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, listen to this, friends. Now remember, David read from John 3 just a moment ago, you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Friends, when we are baptized, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says that's the Holy Spirit doing that. Now, I know there's a man up there assisting someone to go down into the water, but the Bible says that we've got to be circumcised in our heart,
right,
and not in our physical flesh. David, the Holy Spirit, when we're baptized, circumcises our heart and not our flesh. And for someone to exclude baptism in God's glorious plan completely devastates the entire message of the gospel. Friends, you can't preach the gospel. And I want to read one verse before I leave that. In Acts chapter 8, and you may have studied Acts chapter 8 several times, but you've got a man by the name of Philip who's directed by the Holy Spirit to go down and meet someone, and they're going to be traveling, going down toward Ethiopia. And it says that Philip comes to this man, and this man is reading in the Scripture. This is Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse number 24. And it says, back up a little bit, verse number 27. The angel of the Lord in verse 26 sends Philip down to talk to this guy. And he's reading, and Philip joins him, and he said, I don't understand what I'm reading. And it says that Philip, now listen to what the Bible says in verse 35, Acts 8 and verse 35. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And then verse 36, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Don't tell me the gospel doesn't include baptism.
Well, it's very interesting there in that very same passage that it says it preached to him Jesus.
Amen.
You cannot preach Jesus without preaching baptism, without preaching the shedding of the blood, without preaching the remission of sins, and without preaching the church that Jesus Christ That's bought right. with his blood. That is the reason that the eunuch asked him, he says, "There is water, what does hinder me to be baptized?" Now, let's not forget the theme of our lesson tonight, which is the compassion of Jesus Christ. It is a compassionate thing that Jesus Christ came to this world. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. It is a compassionate thing that he gave his disciples a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now the one thing that a lot of people are dismissing here is the fact that, well, I can't preach. You can take the Bible and you can teach, and each and every one of us are part of the royal priesthood. And so the compassion of Jesus gives us the words that we are to preach, and in those words he tells us what his plan of salvation for mankind is. And friends, that is compassion on the part of the Son of God. And we are just about out of time. As a matter of fact, I think we're a little bit over time, and I'm going to give Terry...
Carry
the last word.
Well, friends, I want to conclude with this thought, and I'll wrap it up real quick. Friends, we love you, and I say that sincerely. We want you to go to heaven, and we want to assist you any way that we can. And friends, we want you to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And may God bless you as you study his divine word.
Amen.